And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people." Okay, I have some flip cards here. Oh, thank you. What are the sounds of Christmas? Christmas has a sound to it. I don't know about you, but I can hear Christmas all year long if I look for it hard enough. But there are certain sounds that sound like Christmas. Some of those sounds are good. We enjoy those sounds, and some of those sounds are like fingernails on the chalkboard because they really annoy us. I have some of both of those here for us today. First one is Muzak. I don't know where you go shop, but wherever I shop, there seems to be the same 7 Christmas songs on the radio sung by 25 different artists badly. There is so much more Christmas music out there than the same 7 politically correct songs that you hear everywhere you go. A study I read this year said that music, that people who work retail are more stressed than anybody because of the Muzak they have to listen to. And I believe it, because it's bad. But there are happy sounds with Christmas. Anybody here listen to our bells and not smile? Especially considering what our bells have gone through. And yet they're still standing. Our bells are a happy sound at Christmas. It wouldn't be Christmas without our bells. Another bad sound at Christmas. Bad TV. Really bad TV. The commercials alone will make you nuts. And then there's all those bad TV shows. It's really hard at Christmas time to watch Forensic Files. I'm not saying it's a bad show, but Forensic Files or 48 Hours, when we're supposed to be thinking about joy and love. Bad TV. But, you know, there's good TV, too. You can't miss the classic movies and the Hallmark Channel. I introduced Elvis to one of my favorite Christmas movies last night, Die Hard. It's a little subjective here. But there's good sounds and bad sounds. A really big bad sound that we hear a lot this time of year, car horns, especially in parking lots. Thought there was going to be an altercation in the parking lot the other night. I hope nobody had a gun, because the horns were loud enough. But this time of year, from now until New Year's, there's other kinds of horns that are happy horns. College football horns. When you turn on the TV and you're watching Ohio State win the bowl, there was a great Cincinnati game this week, if you watched that one. Those horns they play from the stands, that signal that their team is winning. It's a happy sound. What about this one for a bad sound? Clocks ticking. Time marching onward. As much as I try to avoid it, there's an internal countdown clock going on in my head of how long until Rachel and Elvis leave. There's a tick, 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 tick in my head that's getting louder. There's the tick, 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 tick in all y'all's head probably. Do I have my shopping done? Do I have the wrapping done? Have I hit everybody that I'm supposed to? Have I taken cookies to the shut-in? What have I got left to do? And the time is growing short. It's the first week in Advent. You may think you still have a lot of time, but I promise by the time you turn around twice, it's going to be Christmas Eve and you're going to be frantic. The tick, tick, tick of time moving on. But what about the timer on the stove, especially at Debbie's house? Because when her timer on her stove goes beep, beep, something wonderful roll is coming out of that oven. Doesn't matter if it's cookies or dinner. I want to be the timer on Debbie's stove because something wonderful is coming out. Or maybe Claudia's. Timer on the stove. Christmas cookies. Dinner with family. Nobody minds the beep on the stove. People yelling in stores doesn't make me happy. I was in Lifeway Christian store this week. And the rudest customer I've ever known in the world, no, probably not the rudest one I've ever seen, but a pretty rude one, was yelling in Lifeway Christian store at my dad, of all people, and the clerk. He swears his mother yelled at him, but I can't imagine anybody ever having a reason to yell at my father. Maybe express concern, maybe correct, but yell at my father? People yelling in stores is not a happy sound. What about kids whispering? Santa's coming tonight. I got mommy a present. I think Santa's bringing me. Kids whispering. What a cool sound. Did you give your $5 to Daddy so we can buy that present for Mommy? Kids whispering. Cool sound. A necessary sound, but not a pleasant sound. Cash registers. The grocery store. Beep, beep. Sounds like a countdown to a nuclear bomb. Beep, beep, beep. Or those old NCR cash registers. Anybody remember those? We had one at the bookstore. Or the ones that are silent that the clerk's making all the noise. I'm pushing the right button and it's not working. Cash register noises. But what about the little bell over the door? That sounds so happy when it rings, when people come in or out. It's a nice Christmas sound. I got three more packages to go and the cardboard tube noise. We've hit the end of the roll, which means I got to go back to Walmart and buy more paper at 11 o'clock at night. Bow makers and tape dispensers. Happy sounds. When I worked at the bookstore, we had this old-fashioned mechanical bow maker that you wound up, and it made a clicky noise. And when I hear that clicky noise, think of all the happy times at the bookstore and all the beautiful bows that I was in charge of making. And we had a tape dispenser as a child that no matter what you did to it, it still made horrible noises when you pulled the tape out. So as kids in our bed, we could hear that tape dispenser going all the way down the hall, around the corner, and in the far reaches of the kitchen, and we knew that Mom and Dad were wrapping presents because we could hear the tape dispenser. Happy sounds! The silence of an empty home. Not a happy sound. Much happier sound. I'll bet Marilyn's house was a little bit rowdy. Probably too rowdy for Conrad's comfort this week, but a little bit rowdy. But I promise you, Marilyn wants this and not this. I'm going to miss this when it comes down to this here in a couple of weeks. Sounds of Christmas. Sounds of the holidays. Lots of varied sounds. Sometimes sounds that you wouldn't think were necessarily good or bad sounds are good or bad based on our connotations. I bet you never thought about a tape dispenser being a happy sound. Because you didn't have that tape dispenser, my parents did.
But as a kid, I enjoyed the empty cardboard roll.
That's right. You can play with the cardboard rolls. The sounds of the first Christmas were just as varied. Hear in your head the scurrying feet as Mary goes to Elizabeth's home. As Mary and Joseph scurry off to Bethlehem to be counted. Think about the animal noises in the stable, both the invited and the uninvited animals in the stable. Because where you've got invited animals, you have uninvited animals. Crowd noises. Bethlehem was a zoo with people coming to be registered in their city of origin. That's why Mary and Joseph couldn't find a place to stay. There was a crowd on the road going to Bethlehem. There was a crowd in the stable. Crowd noises. There was a crowd of shepherds. This was not a one-person job up on the hillside. There was definitely a crowd of lambs. Have you ever been with a crowd of lambs? They're kind of noisy. Bah, bah. Angels, shepherds, wise men, new friends. Lots of sounds that first Christmas. And also some sounds that we may not have thought about. About the sound of fear or the sound of trust. We read four readings this morning, and in each of those four readings, either immediately in that reading or connected to that reading, is the sound of fear and the sound of trust. Did you know that fear and trust make a sound? Think about it. Someone knocks at your door, and you turn to the other person in the room, and you can say, "There's someone in the room. There's someone at the door." And you either say it, "There's somebody at the door," or you say it, "There's somebody at the door." The sound of fear or the sound of trust. For Joseph, the first reading, he was told he was about to be a father to a baby he didn't create, which would be hard enough to understand in our day and age where there's miracles of modern science. But imagine this 2,000 years ago, there'd be no way to get your brain wrapped around it. Joseph is afraid. He's afraid of the scandal. He's afraid that he's going to have to put away his wife. For all intents and purposes, they're already married, except for the deed. He's afraid of raising another person's child. In another one of our readings, he's afraid for the safety of his new family, because Herod's out to kill all babies under 2 years old. He's so afraid, he gets up in the middle of the night and they move in the middle of the night. Trust me, Rachel and Elvis are not moving in the middle of the night. They do very little in the middle of the night. It'd take a lot to get me up and moving, literally, packing my belongings and on the road in the middle of the night. Joseph is having dreams about angels telling him it's okay. I'd be afraid. Am I going crazy? I'm dreaming about angels telling me it's okay to marry Mary. I'd worry about my sanity a little bit. Mary is afraid. She's got to tell her mom. She's got to tell Joseph. She is the one that is going to show and bear the brunt of the scandal. She's got to travel while she's pregnant. Now, I've gotten in a nice, easy car and driven down the road while pregnant. I have never had to walk many, many miles, or ride on the back of a really obnoxious animal while pregnant. We don't know if she rode a donkey or if that's just myth. It's probably just myth. She probably walked all that way. And having carried three children while very pregnant, walking is not the most comfortable thing in the world. Your feet hurt. You can't see them. You don't know where the stones are in the road because you can't see your feet. You lost your feet about month six. I think there's a ground down there. Your back hurts. Your balance is off. This is not fun. She's afraid of this, traveling. And giving birth in an unfamiliar circumstance. Think about it. We tour our hospitals. We meet our doctors. We meet our nurses. We take classes at the hospitals, those of you who have had babies recently. We do all this preparation so that it's a little familiar when we get there. Mary doesn't have any of that. She's going to give birth away from her family. Her own mother can't be there. She's afraid. Yet Joseph trusts as well. He went ahead and he took Mary as his wife. That's huge trust. I believe you, Mary. I believe you didn't step out on me, because I know I wasn't involved in this. He raised Jesus and he taught Jesus, another man's son. In this case, God's son. But another man's son he raised as his own, taught him a trade. Where do you think Jesus learned to be a carpenter? He saw to the safety of his family, and he relocated his livelihood. He got up in the middle of the night, packed what he could, and took out for Egypt. Elvis has a nice, safe, little cushy job waiting for him in Reno. Can you imagine going that far without the promise of a job, and you got a family to take care of? An area that is not replete with your own kind? There aren't that many Jews living in Egypt at this point. He's got to take his stuff and convince people he knows what he's doing as a carpenter so he can make money and support his family. Just to find shelter. He trusted that he wasn't going crazy. By the time they got to Egypt, it was obvious they had made the right choice. Because the news of Herod's unthinkable acts spread throughout the known world. And Mary trusted as well. Mary and Joseph did eventually have their own children, and quite a few of them. We see many instances in the New Testament of Jesus' brothers and sisters showing up, and there's many of them. Mary and Joseph were blessed with their own children. So Mary was obviously kept safe in an era where childbirth could mean the end of your life. She produced many children safely. And the beginning of an unfamiliar life with a man she probably hardly knew gave way to what was probably, I have no way to know this, but what was probably a pretty close marriage. Simply because of what they went through together and came out the other side together. We hear fear and trust in their story. Trust is not the absence of fear. What are you hearing this Advent season? Are you afraid of the unknown? I'm not Rachel or Elvis, but I'm very afraid of what's going to happen when they go far, far away. If they're not afraid, they need to be. Are you afraid of the unknown? Bell Choir, are you afraid of who's going to play Rachel and Elvis's part? I am. I'm having a little trouble figuring out how we're going to shuffle all this up. Are you afraid of what the future holds? We've been through quite a little bit this year, haven't we? Are you afraid of the future, maybe just a little bit? a little bit. Even the most faithful among us, probably in our quiet moments, are just a little bit afraid of what might be coming. I'd be surprised if you weren't. Trust is not the absence of fear. If our fear gives way to despair or hopelessness, then we got a problem. It would sound like we're not listening hard enough for the trust. Fear can paralyze. And in some cases, it should. When Randy is perched on the top of my roof with his bicycle about to run down the roof and dive off the roof on his bicycle, that should have paralyzed him. The fear of falling off the roof should have paralyzed him. It didn't, but it should have. Because we're built with a certain amount of self-preservation, and that fear is supposed to look out for us. But as we've seen in this Christmas story, fear moves into trust, and movement commences. When the artist Rembrandt was a young teenager, 17, 18, he painted a series of 5 paintings about the senses, you know, sight, sound, touch, smell, and taste. He was an unknown at the time. He was just getting his start. He was an apprentice. But he painted these 5 pictures. 3 of them have been hanging together in a museum for ages and ages. And people thought he only painted the 3, or that the other 2 were long gone. Until very, very recently, in one of those miraculous art world stories, a 4th one showed up at one of the big auction houses. Out of nowhere. Nobody knows where it came from, how long it had been there. But they were quick to authenticate it. It really is a Rembrandt. And they've been reunited. It's pretty cool. For a while, they were displayed together. You know how they loan things to different museums. And they displayed them with the 4 they now have in a blank frame to represent the missing sense. I want to show you the one that Rembrandt painted about hearing. Hearing. If Corey's not a... Corey's going to pull it up. I trust Corey. There it is. It's called Hearing. It's 3 generations singing a song. Do you know what's exciting? As we look at this painting about hearing, is you guys get to hear what I tell my bell choir all the time. People hear with their eyes. You guys, when you watch the bell choir, you actually hear as much with your eyes as you do with your ears. If I'm going to pick on Kristen the younger, because I picked on her today during bell choir. If she's in the back playing like this, it doesn't matter how loud or soft she's playing, you hear her play softly, right? But if she's in the back and she is back there wailing away on that bell, swinging that bell for all she's worth, doesn't matter how loud or how soft she's playing, you hear it loudly. I promise you this. You do. It's a science. So, this is a painting on wood. Can you hear them sing? I can. They're singing. They're singing together. Who's the director? Who? The guy. How do you know he's the director? His hand's directing. How many generations are up there? 3. Young, old, and in the middle. Are they happy? Remember, this is a 17th century painting. You got to think about the Dutch Renaissance. They're happy. They're not miserable. The Golden Age, yes. They're singing out of a book, which means they don't know the words. They can read. The lighting and the color of the age indicate to us it's happy. You know, you either have to be an art freak or you have to have somebody tell you that about the painting. But it's the light and the color that tells you that it's a happy painting. You know what? We're trusting our eyes to tell us about what we're hearing. Because we can hear them sing. It's the first Sunday of Advent. Hopefully they're singing Joy to the World or something like that. I don't know. Trust is not the absence of fear in your life. Make a chart in your head. Make a chart in your head. You know, we all do this, whether we admit to it or not. We all do this. We walk around with little blackboards over our head with lines down the middle, and we do pros and cons. Good and bad. Shopping lists. I don't know. I cannot be the only goofball in the world that has two sides to their chalkboard in their head. But make a list in your head. What are you afraid of? I've been pretty public about what I'm afraid of. I'm afraid of Rachel and Elvis going away. What are you afraid of? My mom is not well. And as they got in their car after we had Thanksgiving on Wednesday night, I just cried and cried. Because the way our family holidays work and the way Rachel and Elvis's finances work, they probably will not be back for Thanksgiving next year. I can see them coming for Christmas. It's not like they're never coming home. But it's probably not, they would not be a family. Anyway, it's doubtful they'll be back for Thanksgiving next year because of the way, you know, in-laws, outlaws, all that good stuff. And as mom and dad drove away, it occurred to me that my mother probably will not survive, at least in a state in which she can interact with people. Her body might still be here in 2 years when they come back. So in all likelihood, this was the last Thanksgiving we shared as three generations. I'm afraid of that. What are you afraid of? How can you trust in that fear? Well, there's not a lot I can do about life marching on. It's going to march on whether I'm afraid or whether I'm not. How can you trust? I can trust God for each day that I have with my family right now. I can trust that people who have gone on before me, who have said goodbye to their children on those Conestoga wagons, Rachel is so sick of that allegory. I ask her what color her wagon is every day. I can trust that people who put their children on real Conestoga wagons and really never did see them ever again, long before the days of airplanes, that they had faith to see them through. I am not alone. I know how to use an airplane. I know how to write a check to get them to use an airplane. I have a God who understands when I cry. God had a plan for Mary and Joseph. He could have used anybody, but he used those who were willing to trust. On that first Christmas, he picked those who were willing to trust, even though they were afraid. He picked those who were willing to listen through their fear to the trust. Are we listening hard enough through the car horns and the cash registers and the bad music? Are we listening hard enough through the horrible situation our own life is in? Good grief, my children are just moving. They're not dying. Are we listening hard enough through the situation we're in to hear the voice of God calling us to trust? Our trust muscles have been stretched this year. I mean, we could all make a list of how our trust muscles have been stretched by disasters close to home. By disasters just down I-10 about 3 hours. In little churches just like this. By crises in our own interpersonal relationship, our trust muscles have been stretched this year. I'm hoping our trust muscles are going to win, though. I'm hoping we can work through our fear, ignore our fear, handle our fear by trusting in God to carry us forward. As we enter into this season of Advent 2017, let's listen harder for what God has for us this season. 2018 is just a hiccup away. Beyond the sounds we hear with our ears, embrace the sounds. Follow me here. Embrace the sounds we hear with our eyes and our touch. Take away some of the fear in our world, in our neighbor's world, in our community's world. Move beyond the fear you hear and embrace the trust.